time now for the morning news, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft furniture. Today's WFIW WOKZ weather forecast calls for sunny skies with a high of 88. I'm Jeff Vaughn, reporting the news. Fairfield Mayor Mike Dreith says the city is in a holding pattern regarding resurfacing Main and Delaware streets. The IDOT project was announced in 2018, but has faced several delays. Bids for materials were supposed to go out last November, but the city was told at that time it would have to wait until this November for any potential action. If bids go out this fall, work could begin in 2023, but the mayor says he isn't necessarily optimistic.
I wouldn't bet on anything. I've personally contacted them, and the city has done everything that it's supposed to do. I imagine there were people in Conestoga wagons that had better, smoother rides than what we have through the middle of downtown Fairfield right now. So I've suggested that possibly there's a political reason why it didn't get done here. I'll stand by that. I don't have anything concrete to point to. Okay. But I think that, you know, this was designed in 2018. Let's get her done. I mean, I've asked him, please go out for bids in November. Please get this thing done next year.
The mayor says he has had positive reports from downtown in recent weeks and is particularly encouraged by vacant buildings being filled.
Shout out to Andrew Gifford. Andrew's not only putting businesses in the upper level of the People's National Bank building, which he now owns and controls, but he has done a remarkable renovation on the property right next to the Wayne County Press for a coffee shop. And he's looking at a 1st of June opening, and that will be an incredible asset for downtown. I look forward to having coffee with the mayor there as soon as he's up and going. You have an antique store right next to him. We're filling up some vacant spots in downtown. We're shoring up, doing some good work in downtown. I'm not taking any credit for any of it. I'm just really happy it's happened, and we're here to help in any way possible.
He also says details on another electronic recycling event could be announced in the near future. More news next.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you've saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance Company, the no problem people. Visit CSI Insurance Brokers in Fairfield today at CSIinsuranceBrokers.com.
Lots of words come to mind when you think of Eubinger's Furniture Company, like cozy, inviting, plush, supportive, and comfortable. That's because we're known for being able to help our customers find the exact piece of furniture or bedding that fits the style and comfort level they want. Eubinger's knows that your home is your castle, and you deserve to make it exactly how you want it. So when you're ready to make those furniture dreams come true, shop Eubinger's Furniture Company, where the deals are worth the drive. Highway 50 East, Flora.
Your family's care team is close to home at Hamilton Memorial Family Clinics in McLeansboro and Carmine. From routine care, vaccines and DOT physicals, to disease management, x-ray, lab work, and COVID testing. With 9 providers and 8 specialty care clinics, Hamilton Memorial has you covered. Plus, for those unexpected illnesses, our weekend walk-in clinics in Carmine and McLeansboro. Hamilton Memorial Hospital Family Clinics. Here for you now, like we've always been.
In other news, the Fairfield City Council will meet tonight at 6 at City Hall. It's scheduled to discuss an ordinance amending the liquor code to add a Class Q license for bed and breakfast establishments, specifically the Victorian on Main. The city has an ordinance for hotel-motel licenses for buildings with at least 20 rooms, but that doesn't apply to the Victorian, per Mayor Dreith.
We've crafted this ordinance specifically for bed and breakfasts of 5 rooms or less. What it does is allows them to sell beer and or wine to the people that are inside the building as tenants. or as people that are there on their way through town to stay a night or two. They also will be given the opportunity, if they have a new patio there at Victorian on Main, if they wanted to do a wine tasting or some sort of craft beer event, that would also be included in this liquor license.
The ordinance will also seek to clarify the necessary boundary between a business seeking a liquor license and a church, school, or nursing home. The liquor code currently prevents a licensee from being within 100 feet of such establishments. The new language says, for non-churches, affected properties will be measured from property line to property line. Churches will be a bit different.
Kudos to Darren Rice, our city legal counsel. He's the one that often has to weigh whether or not somebody's within 100 feet of one of these establishments. And what he has said, and I'll read the exact passage. For churches, the measurement of 100 feet shall be measured by beginning at the property line of the prospective liquor licensee and ending at the part of the exterior of the worship portion of the church building.
Other action items call for a resolution setting council meeting dates, approval to seek bids for the sale of equipment, and discussion on the FOP contract. The council will enter executive session to discuss that contract, and action is possible upon return to open session. Fairfield Community High School will hold graduation in its East Gymnasium this Sunday at 2 p.m. Superintendent Jill Fulkerson said yesterday the move comes because of mercurial weather conditions for the weekend, but there will be no seating limitations for guests. The FCHS band will play Pomp and Circumstance. Senior class president Hunter Biggs will give an address, and Elmer McDuffie will announce the American Legion Citizenship Awards. The valedictorian and salutatorian will be announced on Sunday. Law enforcement officials, including a U.S. Marshals task force, apprehended escaped Alabama inmate Casey White and corrections officer Vicky White following a vehicle chase in Evansville, Indiana yesterday. A task force member reportedly drove a vehicle into a Cadillac in which Vicky White was a passenger. She suffered a self-inflicted gunshot wound and died from her injuries at a hospital. The pair fled Lauderdale County, Alabama on April 29th, and they were believed to have been in Vandenberg County, Indiana since May 3rd. Casey White will be brought back to Alabama, where he faces murder charges. Vicky White had been charged with permitting or facilitating escape in the first degree, and she would have faced new charges stemming from the incident. She was accused of taking Casey White from jail to a fake mental health evaluation. The two were not related, but were said to have a, quote, special relationship. The IDPH reported 4 new cases of COVID-19 in Wayne County since Friday afternoon. Jefferson County added 3 cases, Edwards and Marion counties 2, and Hamilton, White, and Lawrence counties 1. Richland, Clay, and Wabash counties held steady on the state website. As a state, Illinois announced 14,427 new cases and 9 additional deaths. State government employees now have a few more years to take advantage of a pension buyout program. Kim Howard has more.
The current buyout plan is being extended thanks to a new state law, says Governor J.B. Pritzker.
The legislation I'll sign today extends the window for state employees, university workers, and educators to take advantage of early access to their pension savings through fiscal year 2026. That means at least 4 more years of cost savings for taxpayers.
Senator Doris Turner of Springfield says this saves the state money and gives workers a lump sum option.
This is a good outcome for retirees, but everyone in the state will benefit because there will be more money for other programs and services that our state is obligated to provide.
More than 4,500 people have already taken advantage of the buyout offer. At the state capitol, I'm Kim Howard.
Illinois Treasurer Mike Frerich says his office is looking to return millions of dollars to state residents. In many cases, he says the money is simply waiting to be claimed.
We bring in money from companies and from financial institutions twice a year. So we recommend people check on their birthday and on their half birthday. If they've checked in the past and found money, but it's been longer than a year and longer than 6 months, we encourage them to check again because maybe some new funds have come in. We just have great stories of reuniting people with their money, small and large claims. I love doing this because, one, it's my job. Two, it is just fun to play Santa Claus 365 days a year giving away money. But three, it's not just good for the people who get the money. It's good for all of us. because when we put that money in county residents' hands, and they then in turn have extra money that they spend at local businesses or local restaurants, we get that money circulating throughout the economy, it does a lot more good for our state than it does sitting in a cold vault in Springfield.
He says the average amount claimed is $1,000. People can check for any unclaimed property at icash.treasurer.gov. Today's crude oil price is $96. That's down $6.75 from yesterday. The June crude oil price is $103.50. That's the news. Area deaths next.
Ray's Mowing and Backhoe Service will take care of your needs with water, sewer, and electrical line trenching. Ray's offers road tilling and driveway tilling to smooth out those spots for residential or for townships. They also deliver gravel for your driveway. Ray's has American steel carports, storage buildings, and A-frame style garages and various sizes and colors. Only a small down payment when ordered and payment in full when installed or financing is now available. Ray's Rental now has a 1- and 2-bedroom houses for rent for as little as $350. No pets allowed. Call 618-516-1602. That is 618-516-1602. Ray's Mowing and Backhoe Service will take care of your needs with water, sewer, and electrical line trenching. If you need road tilling, driveway tilling, or need gravel for your driveway, give Ray's a call today.
Local and area deaths brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 60-year-old Ellery resident Beth Ann Seals died on Saturday. Beth Seals is survived by her husband Matt, daughter Emily, 3 grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. Services will be Thursday at 10 at Little Prairie Christian Church. Visitation will be Wednesday from 5 to 8, and burial will be at Bethel Cemetery. Kepis Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. 72-year-old Kenneth R. Abbey died on February 23rd. Kenny Abbey is survived by children Stacy, Cody, and China, sister Sue Nail, 10 grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. Services will be Thursday at 10:30 at Graceland Cemetery. Nail's Funeral Home is assisting the family. 89-year-old Ellery resident Lloyd H. Waters died on Saturday. Lloyd Waters is survived by children Janet Pettigrew, Kenneth Waters, Carl Waters, Ronald Waters, and Stephen Waters, several grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces and nephews, and siblings Charles, Ruth, Linda, and Francis. Services will be Thursday at 1 at Ingram Meredith Funeral Home in Albion. Visitation will be from 11 to service time, and interment with military rites will be in Little Prairie Cemetery. 72-year-old West Salem resident John Ellis died on December 30th. John Ellis is survived by his wife Crystal and children Kelly Merbarger and David Ellis. Services will be Saturday at 11 at the Albion First Baptist Church. Doors will open at 10. 89-year-old McLeansboro resident Ronald H. Magsig died on Saturday. Ron Magsig is survived by siblings Karen, Marilyn, Sandra, and Rick, sons Fritz, Brian, Kirk, and Sean, 11 grandchildren, and 15 great-grandchildren. Services will be Saturday at noon at Harry Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 10 to service time, and burial will be in Antioch Cemetery. 98-year-old Melbourne, Florida resident Hope Muncie Odell died on Saturday. Hope Odell is survived by sons Jim and Dennis, 3 grandchildren, and 1 sister. Services will be at a later date. 68-year-old Fairfield resident Vernon Douglas Leek died on Thursday. Vernon Leek is survived by his wife Linda and 1 half-sister. No services will be held. Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home is assisting the family. 94-year-old Mount Vernon resident Mary Catherine Toombs died on Sunday. Catherine Toombs is survived by daughter Vicki Young, 2 grandchildren and great-grandchildren, 1 sister, and several nieces and nephews. Services will be Wednesday at 11 at Young Funeral Home in Wayne City. Visitation will be from 9:30 to service time, and interment will be at Thomason Cemetery. 84-year-old Fairfield resident Louise Butterworth died on January 22nd. Services will be Wednesday at 11 at Union Cemetery. Nail's Funeral Home is assisting the family. 78-year-old McLeansboro resident Carolyn Campbell died on Saturday. Services will be Wednesday at 1 at Harry Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 11 to service time, and burial will be in Pleasant Grove Cemetery. 88-year-old Carmi resident Marilyn H. Ackerman died on Saturday. Services will be today at 1 at Stendebeck Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 11 to service time, and burial will be in Big Prairie Cemetery. 100-year-old McLeansboro resident Hazel Clark died on Tuesday. Services will be today at noon at Harry Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 10 to service time, and burial will be in Pleasant Grove Cemetery. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. Again, today's WFIW weather forecast calls for sunny skies with a high of 88. We'll have a full forecast, along with current temperatures, after sports. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting.
Others have come and gone the past 70 years, but their dedication of superior service has helped them thrive for four generations at Rush Appliance in Fairfield and Carmine. They deliver quality Speed Queen products, and if you ever call them for service, they are in your driveway almost before you hang up your phone. Sean Rush is inviting you to check out Speed Queen washer and dryer pairs at Rush Appliance and Furniture in downtown Fairfield and Carmine.
There's a domino effect that takes place when the first person orders a hash brown with their breakfast sandwich. Suddenly, no one in the car can think of a single reason why not to get a little extra crunch. And you'll hear a chorus of, "I'll do the same," from the back seat.
Get the most important meal of the day from McDonald's with a sausage biscuit and hash browns for just $2.50. And pair it with a $1 any size diet Dr. Pepper. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. You can listen online at WFIWradio.com, anytime, anywhere. WFIWradio.com.
Time now for a Tuesday check of sports. In high school track and field at the Rick Book Invitational, Newton would take first place with 164 points. Fairfield would follow up in second with 131. Weber took third with 59. Flora would place 4th and Hamilton County 5th, while Carmiwhite County, Johnston City, Mount Carmel, El Dorado, and Christopher round out the top 10. Your top performing mules were Trent Bliss, 1st in high jump, and Gabe Todd, 1st in long and triple jump. In high school baseball action, Fairfield would come out on top of Carmiwhite County, 11-4. Looking at NBA playoff results, the Boston Celtics defeated the Milwaukee Bucks 116-108. The best-of-seven East semifinals is now tied 2-2. And in the West, it would be Golden State victorious over Memphis 101-98. The Warriors now hold a 3-1 lead in the West. Looking at baseball, it was Baltimore over Kansas City 6-1. The Yankees shut out the Rangers 1-0. And the A's shut out the Tigers 2-0. The Guardians took down the White Sox 12-9 in 11, while the Angels beat the Rays 11-3. It was the Pirates over the Dodgers 5-1. The Reds beat the Brewers 10-5. The Cubs shut out the Padres 6-0. The Diamondbacks defeated the Marlins 4-3. And the Rockies fell to the Giants 8-5. In interleague play, the Phillies would shut out the Mariners 9-0. In hockey, the Panthers beat the Capitals 3-2 in overtime to tie the best-of-seven East first-round series. The Penguins beat the Rangers 7-2. That series is led by the Penguins 3-1. The Avalanche would beat the Predators 5-3 to take a 4-0 lead in the West first-round series. And the Flames took down the Stars 4-1. That series is tied 2-2. Here's a look at today's action. In NBA play, it will be the 76ers facing off against the Miami Heat, and the Mavs will take on the Suns. In baseball today, it's the Tigers and A's playing a doubleheader. The Jays take on the Yankees. The Astros play the Twins. It's the Royals versus the Rangers. The Guardians and the White Sox. The Rays and the Angels. The Dodgers at the Pirates. The Reds play the Brewers. The Mets face the Nationals. The Cubs take on the Padres. The Marlins go up against the Diamondbacks, and the Rockies will play the Giants. In interleague play today, it will be the Red Sox against the Braves, the Orioles taking on the Cardinals, and the Phillies facing the Mariners. And in hockey, the Bruins will take on the Hurricanes, the Lightning will play the Maple Leafs, the Blues will face the Wild, and the Kings take on the Oilers. All four of those best-of series are currently tied 2-2. And that's a Tuesday check of sports. And taking a quick look at weather, today will be mostly sunny with a high near 88. Overnight tonight, we expect partly cloudy skies with lows around 69. And tomorrow, mostly sunny skies throughout the day with a high near 90, while overnight mostly clear and a low near 68. We have sunny skies in the forecast for Thursday and Friday. Thursday, we're looking at a high near 88 and a low near 61. Friday's high shows 87 with lows near 65. And then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms do return to the forecast for Saturday. Otherwise, partly sunny skies. Saturday's high will be 84 with a low near 63. Stepping in out of the newsroom now, joining me, Mr. Jeff Vaughn. Jeff, good Tuesday morning.
Morning.
So we've got a few things going on in the news. I know you talked with Mayor Dreith yesterday about some of the things that are being covered with the council meeting and here in town. What have you got for us?
Yeah, it's not just a whole lot that's going to take place at the council meeting. This Class Q liquor license, which is specifically for the Victorian on Main, like right now they're the ones who have applied for it, but will be a thing going forward. That could be the most interesting bit with, amending the city ordinances to recognize smaller establishments, which is to say, hotel, motel evidently have to have at least 20 rooms to be classified as such. Victorian on Main doesn't have that, but it's still a very popular spot and a very nice spot for someone to stay. So get their own, or get a demarcation for a smaller establishment like that, 5 rooms or less specifically.
That seems to make sense, though.
Yeah, it does. It seems like it's a good thing, and also trying to clarify as part of this same ordinance, it doesn't deal with Victorian on Main, but clarify the whole property boundary issues for liquor licenses. You can't have an establishment with a liquor license within 100 feet of certain other establishments, churches, schools, nursing homes. There are several, but as the mayor was saying in the news, and as he said in the full Community Connection interview, which is up on our headlines page, is that boundary line to boundary line? Is it front door of the licensee to front door of the other establishment? What is it? So they're going to try and codify exactly what that's going to be like. So that's kind of the interesting thing. The FOP contract, Fraternal Order of Police contract, a 3-year contract. The current one expires, I think, at the end of this month. That could be interesting, but mainly for the alderman. Going to talk about the details of the contract in executive session, and then after that session, there may be some action on it. But there's no telling how long that will last or anything like that. But if you don't get it done today, end of the month is when that contract expires, so there's not just a whole lot of time left for the FOP contract. But yeah, just 4 items on the agenda tonight. It's not that busy of a meeting, scheduled
right.
Meeting. We'll see what the mayor's report has. We'll see if the aldermen have any business that they need to bring up in miscellaneous. And the fiscal year for the city ended in April. So we're in a new fiscal year, and new fiscal year means new. It's that time for the appropriations, and also it's time for the personnel stuff. So appointments right. to city positions and different committees, and what aldermen are on what committees on the city council, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. That, or at least a portion of that, should happen at the next meeting, the next council meeting. So that will be a considerably more interesting night, I would expect, than tonight. If you do, if you are super interested, or if you just want to make sure you keep up with everything that the city council is doing, I mean, I know we report on the action that was taken, and
yes.
I know the newspaper does as well. But if you want to hear everything back and forth that's going on, but you don't want to go to City Hall, it is on Facebook Live. You can watch it there, and the city does archive it as well. So
you know,
that's really good where you can just
right. That's one of the few great things to have come out of the pandemic is how many of these things are now readily available online. Whereas before, like you said, if you weren't there in person, you were just at the mercy of whatever details you were given.
And, I mean, it wasn't even that way for the city council. In the middle of the pandemic, you had the call-in feature for a few people.
Right.
But that a few people used, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, you know, it was still go there, wear a mask. But, yeah, these last few months, I guess, where the Facebook Live has been implemented, It's good. It started off, and it was still good, but the audio was a little bit quiet because, you know, microphones, the way that they are, and trying to kind of set up an existing...
Right.
Or the existing layout and then make something else work instead of setting up a whole new deal specifically for streaming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was... I had no problem hearing it whenever it first started off. Certainly have no problems hearing it now. They've really done what they could to make sure everybody is very, very... mic'd up, as it were. So I've watched several meetings on Facebook Live just so that I can keep up with it. It is a really nice feature, and kudos to the city council for agreeing to do that, because I mean there's really no reason not to.
You know, that's the thing about it. In today's day and age, everybody's got different schedules, everybody's busy, but everybody has some form of smart device, whether it's their cell phone, whether there's pad, web pages. I mean, you got your computers at home, your laptops. About 98% of the country is connected at all times now.
Most
so
people.
It's a really great thing to see happening.
Most people have it, and more opportunities for an open meeting to be seen by more people. That's not going to be a bad thing. More accountability. More
transparency is always a great thing.
Absolutely.
What are you working on for noon?
Well, we're going to see some pre-K screenings at Fairfield District 112. Northside going to be hosting some screenings next week, and it's not just for District 112, but it's for all the Fairfield feeder schools. So we'll have some details on that and what number you can call for appointments and such. And Section 23 FFA officers were elected last night, and Sarah McGehee of FCHS is the new Section 23 president. So kudos to her.
Congratulations,
and,
Sarah.
And we'll see the rest of the officers and the retiring officers here at, you know, 4.5 hours-ish.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Jeff, we appreciate you stopping by as always, and we'll be listening at 12:15. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good.